Good morning. Just a few announcements before we start our service. Beth Stroninger sent a message, so I just wrote what she said. She would like to say thank you to all of you who are all, for all the prayers and visits. She is now feeling very weak and is in a lot of pain, so the family is just going to limit visitation or visiting to immediate family. George is still at the hospice most days, and Rachel is here until Wednesday. And they still appreciate visitors outside her room. The prayers are felt and have held our family up through this journey. Please continue to hold us in prayer. We are so thankful. We have a gracious and loving God and a wonderful church family. With love from the Stoningers. So continue to pray, and at the same time, you can let her know that she's been a light to all of us, and is a light to all of us. Confirmation classes start this Tuesday. They range from they're going to start on Tuesday 9 to 4 till Friday 9 to 4, and then Saturday. I believe they go till noon. That's the information I have as of right now. So that's confirmation classes. Bible study will be at the church 10 a.m. whenever I'm around. And when I'm not around, I'm sure they'll still have it. And Friday Bible study will still be at 7. This Wednesday, there will not be a men's group. We'll start it up the following week. Are there any other prayer requests? And special guests here are Pastor Kay and his wife Ruth, and they've been here since Thursday. And if you have any questions on, and if you didn't go to Steve and Jackie's on Friday at the Meet the Pastor Greet night, if you have any questions on the church in India and the needs that they have, and the prayers requests that they have, you can definitely reach out to Pastor Kay and or Ruth, and they can answer some of your questions. And I believe there's some of us have picked up some tracts and some pamphlets at the Steve's on Friday. So any information in any way that we can help the church in India definitely will be needed for sure. And just ask him, and I'm sure he's got lots of answers for us. And he'll be preaching today. So the order of service is hymn 226, Sowing in the Morning. The psalm reader is Hudson. It's psalm 123. Hymn 336, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Steve will do the prayer. Hymn 622, Feed My Sheep. And Pastor Kay will give us the message, and it's in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. And the closing hymn is 620, Rescue the Perishing. Any other messages, announcements, or prayer requests? Let's begin.
Psalm reading for today is Psalm 123. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto a hand of a mistress, so our God await upon the Lord our God. Unto that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with content. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the content of the proud.
This morning, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us give thanks and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for so many blessings that have come to us in our lives, so many blessings that have provided for body and for life and for health. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship that we enjoy this morning on this beautiful day. And the fellowship is truly in the sunshine, the Son of Righteousness, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that in the midst of a world that is filled with people who are aimless and wandering and have no idea what the future in this life holds, nor that of eternity, we thank you, Father, that you have given to your people the anchor, the solid rock, and that we can be, by faith, anchored to that solid rock so that it will not move. And that is the one thing in this world that we rely upon, Father, and that is that your word and your promises and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mercy provided through him is unchanging and immovable. Father, we thank you that we can be tethered to such an immovable rock, and that by faith we can live joyfully in this world, keeping it in its proper perspective, because we know that our anchor is not cast here to a tree or to the sand or to anything else, but our anchor is truly cast in heaven upon Jesus Christ the Lord. Help us, Father, to live joyfully in this world, shining the light of Jesus Christ into the world that we have, and yet always filled with the assurance and the certainty and the joy of what awaits us in heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we are joined by Pastor K. Yasurat Nam and his wife Ruth from Andhra Pradesh in India. Father, we thank you for the work of the ministry in India, and that also of and including the work in the ministry of Pastor K and all of those who are helping there. And Father, we pray for rich blessings upon their ministry, which seems focused upon reaching those who are lost. And Father, may we also realize that the mission field is equally broad here in this land that we live in, and that there is no less need for that word to be sent forth and to be brought to those who sit in darkness. May your marvelous light shine through each of your people in a most glorious way, so that as the world deepens in its darkness, as we know that it will, that the light would shine even more certainly and brightly in the midst of that darkness. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless Pastor K today as he opens the word and brings forth the message that you have laid upon his heart. Give him much strength and freedom, and may we be given ears that would receive it and hear it and believe it. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for Beth and George and the entire family, continuing prayers for, first of all, for healing in her body. That is our will, Father. That is our desire. That is our prayer. And yet we know that it is entirely in your hands. And Father, we ask that you would give continuing strength and comfort to them in this time and in this season. Father, be with all of those who struggle in any way, with whether it is with troubles in life and in families and in addictions and in other things that seem to grasp and grab at the human soul. We ask that you would be present there and that the power of your word would be able to penetrate even the darkest places. Father, be with us therefore this on this day, and be with us always, and especially in the week ahead when we have the confirmation class also. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And shall we continue with hymn 622?
Oh, May the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. I'm so happy to be with all of you today in this holy sanctuary on this Lord's Day. How true it is that all the nations to make a joyful noise, and today we are also doing the same and seeing that the scripture is coming, that as we come together, as I come from halfway of the world and we come together. And I give all glory and honor to the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. First of all, I would like to bring greetings from my home congregations and also the associate pastors and also the children at ALC home and other wings of the mission work in India. With the kind fellowship and support from the foreign mission of ALC of America. Certainly, I remember always Pastor Dick Jutti, who has been to India several times, I think 7 times, and today, again, I am so happy to be here and remember him also and all the mission work that he has done. And there were some youngsters who have come to India. The reason I mention this, that it would continue to come there and be in the mission field because it is open for all of you. So let us continue to take that step to come. All the hymns that we have sung are so blessing and everything reminding us and also what we can do in his mission or what we should be doing in his mission. May the Spirit of God strengthen each and every one of us to that end. I am so thankful today to the board of this church who are giving me this opportunity to stand before you and contemplate on the Word of God and be and also fed from the living Word of God. As the text is already there on the, I would like to, the text is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. I am reading it in the name of Jesus. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what they are among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the 5 of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Amen. The Gospel, according to John, is a very peculiar, it stands in its way in giving the message of the Lord to the children of God, to us today. And the Gospels are filled or giving the account of lots of miracles, what the Lord has done while he was on this earth. Because the word miracle today, we use it in many ways. Whatever we receive from the Lord or what we are having, we count them as miracles and give thanks to the Lord. So the miracles are always for the human beings. We need them, and God is doing it. The miracle that we have read in this gospel is the only miracle mentioned in all the four gospels. Jesus has done 36 miracles in his 3.5 years ministry. And it is very interesting, when we say 36, it's nothing to limit, but it's just interesting to know how many are recorded in the scripture. And even those miracles which have been done, in the first 6 months he has done 7 miracles. And in the second year, in the first year he has done 7 miracles. And in the second year he has done 12 miracles. And in the third year he has done only 5 miracles. And in the last 6 months he has done 12. Thus we come to 36 miracles. And another interesting thing with the book of John, or the Gospel of John, is that the first miracle and the last miracle is also mentioned only in this book. So some of these things always help us to deep know more or read it. But nothing to say one is greater than the other, but the beauty of the book, or when we learn, we are so happy for that. So this miracle, and also every chapter of the Gospel of John, is also very interesting with a special subject. Like first chapter is talking about the coming of the Lord, more the mission of the John the Baptist. Second chapter is talking about the first miracle that Jesus has done. Third chapter is talking about the wonderful teaching of regeneration with Nicodemus. Chapter 4 talks of the woman of Samaria, and the whole world would come to know the Messiah. Chapter 5 speaks of another miracle at Bethesda, how it has been taken, and the explanation is given. Chapter 6, he speaks of this miracle, and continuing with his blessed teaching in chapter 7 about lots of things that Jesus has come to do, and his teaching from the temple also. Chapter 8 speaks of the woman caught in adultery, and how the transition from law to grace is applied. Chapter 9, we see again another miracle of the blind man at Siloam, how he was healed. Chapter 10 speaks of the wonderful mission of the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd. And we are all his sheep today and being fed by him. chapter 11 speaks of the life given, or Lazarus coming back to life, giving us the hope of resurrection. And chapter 12 speaks of the continuation of it, with more coming to his disciples, giving them more insights of it. Chapter 13, talking about his disciples, he's washing the feet of the disciples. Chapter 14 speaks of the great comfort he would like to give to his disciples, and talking about the heaven and the mansions in heaven and all that things. And chapter promise of the Holy Spirit is also given in chapter 14. Chapter 15 talks that we are all the branches, as he is the vine. And also he's talking about it, that the hostility that we face in this world, but he comforts us. And in chapter 16 we see the mission and ministry of the Holy Spirit today, and even then the convincing of a person, and also bringing the word to us. Chapter 17 talks about the high priestly prayer of Jesus, which is about, again, the unity that we have with him, with the Father. Chapter 18 speaks of his judgments, and chapter 19 speaks of his crucifixion. Chapter 20 speaks of his resurrection and appearance to Mary, Thomas. And chapter 21 speaks of the blessed. Of course, the whole chapter is talking with Peter, as we have sung, "Feed my sheep." And chapter 21 ends that, "May this testimony would go into the world." And that's where Book of Acts starts. And we are blessed with that blessing we have received, and today we are worshiping the Lord. So interesting to know any miracle that is mentioned or done by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this miracle, maybe, I mean, most of you know very well, and but I hope the Lord has something today to teach us from it. And the miracle is that Jesus feeding physically 5,000 men, bless their folks or their families. As someone calculated, if they have at least one with them, like a wife and one child, then it would come easily 15,000. If they have at least two children, it might come around 20,000. So we can say, even not just feeding 5,000, even it is feeding thousands of people. Of course, we see the multiplication, the thing that took place when it is given into his hands. And people were very much, the mobs were following him, because they loved, they have received his miracles, and they still want to receive, not expect, not knowing that what more he is going to do. But let us follow. Let us follow to hear him. Let us follow to receive more from him. Even today, as a children of God, that is our deep desire, that we follow him. We hear him to know more and to learn more and to experience more. And he has seen the hunger and thirst in the crowd, that they almost forget to eat any physical food. And after, or on the third day, he has seen them that they should be fed with some bread, literal bread. And that's where this miracle starts. And when he said unto his disciples, or one of his disciples, Philip, when shall we, or he says, Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? We see the deep concern of the Lord that they may eat. They need food. Certainly, this is part of our daily prayer also, as it is taught in the Lord's Prayer. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And he is doing it till date. We are blessed for that. And when Philip was asked, he was astonished. Of course, we can see that Philip had some estimation. It's very interesting to see how he has estimated that. He says, even if we have 200 penny worth of bread, is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So that's a good estimation, but he could not do anything. But there is another disciple immediately come up. That's one of the disciples, Andrew. And something about Andrew is very interesting. Not much mentioned about Andrew, or not about as other disciples, but we see Andrew was the first witness to Jesus and brought his brother, as we see in the first chapter. Of course, later Peter became the leader and Andrew is somewhere, but still Andrew was one of the apostles, never had anything to do with the other things. He was so kind, he was just humble. Andrew was the one who brought. And also we see about Andrew again here. Andrew is taking an initiation, interestingly. And it's not an easy thing to find something with somebody, like we are about, maybe I'm not good in estimation. Okay, if we are about 100 people here, if I need to go and search at somebody, what is there? It's a little hard work. And there, it's about 5,000 men, and there are some children like them, like these children here. And one of the child has five bread and two loaves. Sometimes we are very much confused whether it is two and five, what, okay? I am also confused in that way. So it's very hard to see. But he has taken an initiation in the mission. And he went out and he found a lad having with him five bread and two fish. It's very interesting. When he saw that, he didn't just deny what can be done with this. But he just noticed it. There we see how much the lad is also noticed. Must be a teenager, as a lad, when it is said he must be around 11 or 12 or something. Must be. So another thing, the lad did not eat what he has brought to eat. How much more he was also interested in hearing the word of God. He almost forgot about his lunch box or whatever box was given to him from his parents. And when I have heard about this, even it's very hard to find one lad having this among those 5,000. Some commentators here and there trace that it's out of the scripture, but it said he might be the son of Andrew. That could be. It's not, I'm not making it a dogma, but people said he might be son of Andrew because he could easily go and trace out. And not only just tracing out, but he has immediately given the message to the Lord Jesus Christ. God is using Andrew here not to be just keeping quiet, but what he has seen, he could not see that one is going to be sufficient for 5,000 people in his own naked eyes. But he could see in his heart, if it reaches into the hands of Jesus, or if it is intimated to Jesus, there is going to be something here. That's what a great thing. We can all be like Andrews in his mission. Andrew is mainly a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, or he was a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, each Christian should be or can be a witness for his grace that we have received. And the Lord wants us. And I think today I am here as a witness for his mission. And when you are there witnessing him, you are there in the place of Andrew. And we do or whatever we tell to the Lord, and we see the multiplication. And immediately Jesus taking them into his hands and asking the people to sit, and the united effort is seen when he gave thanks unto the Lord and to the Father, and they kept on receiving from the hands of the Lord and kept on serving. The miracle goes so much that here I would like to say something about the barley loaves and fish. The loaves are the bread is always for the man that he should get physical strength and to glorify the Lord. And the fish is also something that we always would like to eat and be strengthened. It is man's elementary or the needed food that we take and be blessed. But the fish is also in the ancient or in the first century Christians, they have used it as a symbol for Christianity. You see that in some of the Bibles, on some of the Bibles you see that the symbol of fish is written. It's something interesting to know about it. The fish is called in Greek language as ichthus. Ichthus. It has got five different letters. And ichthus has a special meaning when we take the expansion of it. It's in Greek, it is read like Isus, Christos, Theos, Huos, Sotir. That is the expansion of that. Which means, it's very clear, it says that Jesus Christ, God, God's Son, is the Savior. That is what meant by the figure, ichthus, or with the fish. In the ancient world, or ancient Christians, first century Christians, they used it as their sign also, that I am a Christian. And also they used it in some places, because in those days they don't have much freedom to worship. They have to worship in catacombs and things, as you must have heard it. So they used to keep this sign that those people are there. So they used to use that one also in that way. And today, even, it is very much teaching us that we are the fishers of men. We sing that song with the children, but it also reminds us that God is calling us, that we can be also like a fisherman to bring people into the kingdom of God. And This is the significance of the fish or the ichthos that has been used as the symbol of it. And there we also see, as we come down in this miracle, all people were fed and the food was so much sufficient for all of them. And in verse 12 we see, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. It's a wonderful message to us today, that we may be, like we should be, the ones caring for the lost. Nothing to be lost. That should be the message also. They thought, we just got off and everything is over, we may take rest. But he says, now you have work to do. That is to gather the fragments. And they have obeyed and they have gathered the fragments of all those bread. And when interestingly it says that, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. The 12 baskets, now we can see there is much to learn from it. The 12 baskets are given to the 12 disciples, and also they are blessed to have each one a filled basket that they can go and even feed many. What the Lord has done and he has entrusted to us so that we also feed people, feeding the sheep or feeding the lambs, that is the mission given to the servant of God with the word. And also these 12 baskets, as the Lord has given me a message on 12 baskets. The figure 12 is very interesting, beginning from Genesis through Revelation. I don't want to tell all those 12 numbers, but things okay. But here I would like to bring these 12 baskets with more meaningful to the believer today. When I mention this 12 one, but I was not able to mention the names of the 5,000 people who are fed. It's a little bit humorous when we talk about Peter went to heaven and the angel was just stopping him at the gate, asking him many questions. Peter gave all answers well. He was about to walk into. And he also, angel had a somewhat interaction with Peter, asking, how many did Jesus fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish? He said, 5,000. He thought he can just enter now. But then the angel asked him, name them. Sometimes something that, so we cannot name all, that is for sure. But we know that the Lord is doing it. But the 12 baskets for a Christian are very much explained. There, these 12 baskets are given today to each and every one of us in the spiritual form. I would like to go through soon, I mean in a speedy way, like the 9 baskets that we can take from the fruit of the Spirit that is seen in Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 in that. So the first basket is the basket full of love. The world expects that love from us. We can have the basket full of love because people in the world are looking, is there anybody to show me love? And as Christians, we have that blessing to show them the love. And the second basket is full of joy. That's talking again. It's more the joy in the heart. Because there are many people who do not have the real joy that the Lord is giving to us, given to us. So that can be the second basket, full of joy. And the third basket, full of peace. And as we know, the world is looking for the peacemakers or the peace givers. We have the Prince of Peace who has come into the world and given us that wonderful peace and tranquility in our hearts. And this peace is certainly not the peace that the world gives, but what we received from the Lord Jesus Christ and we are blessed with. And the fourth basket is basket full of long suffering. It talks about a person as we go in this Christian journey, the patience that we need, the forbearance and the perseverance that we may have. In spite, we may be facing lots of problems and troubles sometimes that we never expect. But God, when we have this basket full of long suffering, we could gain them and go on. The fifth basket, basket full of gentleness, or the word kindness is also used. Again, the world is looking for something that what we can do, show kindness. Here there is a good example that Joseph showing kindness to his brothers, as we see in the book of Genesis. And the sixth basket, basket full of goodness. And again, this is also something that we can show into this physical world. Jesus was the Good Samaritan, and also David showing his goodness to Mephibosheth. The goodness is very much the table fellowship. And the seventh basket is basket full of faith. As we sojourn in this world, we need to grow in our faith, or we need to keep up our faith. We cannot just do it by ourselves, but only looking unto Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. Certainly, the chapters 11 and 12 of Hebrews always reminds us that we need to grow in the faith. And the eighth basket, basket full of meekness. Always people use for the meekness Moses as the example. So simple understanding for meekness is full obedience to the Lord. Full obedience. Humility is the obedience to the human beings. Meekness is obedience, heartful obedience to God. And we, as the children of God, we obey Him. We fear Him and give Him all the respect, honor, and reverence. In this way, we have come up into this sanctuary with that spirit of meekness to glorify Him. And the ninth basket is basket full of self-control. It's talking about a person's individual life. As frail human beings, we have our failures and infirmities. Beyond all that, only with the grace of God, when we have this self-control, we can go on. Today we see many people fail because they do not cultivate this. But may the Spirit of the Lord help us to have this. In this way we have seen nine baskets. And the other three I would like to bring out from the scripture is from 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 7 through 10. There we see other three baskets, or the the things that we can have as baskets. The tenth one we can see from chapter 4, verse 7 of 1 Peter is basket full of prayer. We are in the last days or at the end, so we need to be sober and watchful and praying. I think for every Christian, we have that experience. We want to spend more time in prayer, asking the Lord, and to have that wonderful fellowship with the Lord. And we always spend time in prayer, and we also pray for others who are in need, and they pray for us. So this is a spirit of prayer that brings us so closer. And the basket full of prayer. And the 11th thing that we can see in the same chapter of 1 Peter, talking about basket full of hospitality. People accommodating, giving their service. I think as I am as a servant of God, I came here. There is one family giving me hospitality. It's not just one family, but they have given me hospitality. I receive more of it even from others. And this happens when we will open up our homes and things. So this is one of the baskets, giving hospitality. That's a wonderful blessing. Some people say, yes, come and stay with us. We have. And at the same time, there are people who give hospitality at the cost of leaving their luxuries, offering to others. That's how we are in this Christian world, blessed with that basket full of hospitality. And the last one that Peter speaks there in verse 10 of chapter 4 of 1 Peter, talking about this basket full of service or stewardship. Service or the stewardship. That is very important in a church. To serve the congregation, to serve the fellow brothers, to serve the mission wings. That's where it comes up. You see that Sunday school or all the other things. It's a wonderful basket and a blessing that we can serve to others. This is, and also the word stewardship is also used there, which is talking that we do it so faithfully. So faithfully. It is entrusted to us that we do it so faithfully. So these are the 12 baskets that each and every Christian can have it. Or we can be blessed with these blessings. Thus, as we come to the end of this miracle, or in verse 13, we read that these 12 baskets are given there to the disciples. But here, as the children of God, we are given these 12 baskets. And we are blessed to have these baskets filled and being filled as we serve to the people in the world. And may the Lord grant us His grace to all of us here and elsewhere, wherever we live, that we have these baskets and we are a blessing to the people out in the world. And this could be also, in this fashion, you could be a blessing to bring more sheaves into the church, into his house. The sheaves and sheep are very close. Of course, we can say the sheaves of sheep. You can bring not only one sheep, but you can bring more sheep, more lambs. So that's very interesting. I love that word because I have some experience. I was also for some time in this in the harvesting plantation. So the word sheaves comes after a lot of other things. First of all, you need good soil. Then on that, you put the seed. Then when it comes to the harvest, then you have the sickle. Then after sickling it, you get the sheaves. And you need to bundle the sheaves, carry it, and you get the harvest. That's a very interesting thing. I used to be a gleaner, not bringing the sheaves. I used to glean. I hope you understand what is gleaning. What is left after the collection of sheaves. That's very interesting too. And it's very hard to glean because you don't get as much as you want. You need to be searching if there is something left. If there is something left here, almost you are bent down and watching it. Today, in the mission field, you and I can be, or we can continue to bring the sheaves into the church or unto the Lord, because the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish, but all should come to Him, none to be lost. That is the message. And today I'm so happy to be with all of you and give you this message as we endeavor, or we are in His mission in India, and we pray for you here and you pray for us, and the Lord will bless us as the beams and beacons for His kingdom expansion. May God bless the mission and the ministry of this church more and more, even in the native land. We keep praying for you, and please pray for us. May the Lord bless all of us with His love and mercy. Thank you. Amen. Should we pray? Loving Father, we are so thankful for this blessed time to come around your word, meditate your word, ponder on it, and glean from your word. Thank you for all the congregation, the infants, the children, and all the adults. Thank you for the young and all the people here. The blessed word that we have heard would be fruitful in our daily walk, and we will be careful always to bring your word to people around us, especially the perishing people around us, to bless them with your gospel. Thank you for the blessed salvation that you have given to us through your dear Son Jesus Christ. And thank you for the hope that we have in Him, that we go onward, forward only with you. Thank you for your mercy that you have shown upon us. Thank you for the blessed congregation here and all the families, even if there are many, any today could not come with any other engagements. Bless them and bless all of us with your peace and grace. And I bless this congregation in your holy name. And we give you all glory. And we ask this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.